This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're your Sweeties.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wa.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be, it can be spring forwarding, it can be spring backing, it can be Eastering, it could be Passovering, it can be so many things, but at the end of the day, hopefully, mildly sweet. Hello.
Hello. So today we're talking about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 2, The Princess and the Pea Brain. I just want to take this moment to let you guys know, before we get into Happily Ever After, the recap, that we did a collab with Sisters Who Watch. And so here's a little excerpt of that. If you love it, please go to their channel on YouTube, as well as their podcast, Sisters Who Watch, and check it out.
What were some of your favorite moments just from the seasons, things that stuck out to y'all?
The bird call episode where they all had to like, it's so funny that like the housewives were just so notoriously bad at everything. I mean, they couldn't read a map. They couldn't find anything. They couldn't do anything. And so to have like a challenge that actually leveled the playing field was actually nice to see that, you know, folks, Kevin and Kevin and the housewives couldn't do anything. And it was just nice to be able to even the playing field, because I mean, and CT was just running them bitches over.
Literally. In the bird challenge, Sheree and Kevin were paired together, and I was like, that's a nightmare.
Oh my God. Sheree was the most useless, and as I'm watching it, I was like, okay, if I wanted to be an unsuspecting traitor, I would have to embody Sheree. It's just like someone who has no game, and is just like, well, what do we do? And so she managed to stay as long as she stayed, because they knew she wasn't a fucking traitor, because she was just so dumb.
Yeah.
Vedra kept her there, I think, because she was a traitor angel. Traitor angel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The funeral was, like, otherworldly. Like, I think...
Amazing.
But I couldn't get over how dramatic and intense it felt, even though we all know like no one's getting buried, you know, whatever, like we all know but it felt like this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And it's funny because, again, they did such a good job of constructing these challenges, like how funny the bird thing is, because it's hilarious to have somebody like, what does it sound like? Like, you know, like it's a comedic sketch. You cannot not have it be funny. Whoever has to do that, whoever has to say it on TV, like all those personalities, it's like almost guaranteed a laugh. It's so brilliant.
All right, everyone, that was Sisters Who Watch. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go and check them out. Sisters Who Watch, Shelby and Lauren, on anywhere that you listen to podcasts, as well as on YouTube. Let's jump right into 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After. So we start off with Gino and Jasmine.
I know. I love that. I know. This captain hat, honey, he was so happy to have.
I'm the captain now. or I'm your captain now.
Oh, disgusting. It's just, you know, they're camping in Michigan, honey, and it does look beautiful. We're supposed to believe that Jasmine's okay with this as her honeymoon, even though we know that that wouldn't possibly be it. But for some reason, that's not the fight that they've scheduled for us. Instead, what we get is just so many horrible, horrific images that they just showcase. I bet you this is what happened. I'm going to tell you right now. Mm-hmm. Gino and Jasmine are the ultimate trolls. They are mm-hmm. so happy on the show and they know everything. And Jasmine is like not, Jasmine's not dumb that she's like, she's enjoying every morsel. So they know that Gino and Gino's toes and those sandals from the first season was like a horrific thing. They know it. Yeah. And so what they want to do is like make the most disgusting talked about television. And I hate them for this because I don't want to see what I had to see or nor hear what I heard, which is basically starts with them eating s'mores, which is lovely. And that's so great. But then one falls on the floor and then he's like, and then she's like, oh, it's on the floor. And he's like, isn't that how you like it? And what's like, oh, no. This is turning into like one of those camp horror films, like B-level horror films, honey. And then, suddenly
oh my God.
Like, one thing about Gino is I realized I have a love of his feet. I started looking at his feet and his toes, and I have a full foot fetish. And then, honey, what happens next is we see Jasmine suck his toes. I'm going to be very honest. I'm going to be very, very fucking honest. I think, and if you tell me that I'm too old, I'll kill you. I think it was too sexual to show on television. I thought it would look like he was basically filleting a dick. Now, here's the thing. Is feet work sexually charged for some people? Yes. I have been a victim.
A victim? She's telling the story, y'all. I didn't know she was going to go here.
No, I'm not a... Whatever. I just, you know, I know what it's like to be with... I know what it's like for to, like, play... To have someone who really is into that. And so I've had to... I'm a giving lover. You know,
I'm a victim of toe sucking.
You know, I know what it's like for someone to generate a lot of sexual pleasure from that. So I know that it's a sexual act. And anyone who does know it's a sexual act, which I'm assuming is like 90% of the sexually active people in this world, especially I get whatever. Then to see like a full toe being sucked is like watching a dick being sucked for me a little bit, except that it was hard for me.
It was a kink. It's a kink. It was triggering for Chris. Yeah. So he just like they get up from the campfire and he just drops the marshmallow on the stick on the ground. And like in a way where she's like, you're just going to leave it there like, on the floor. And he's like, isn't that how you like it? And we don't want it. And then the whole time he's getting his toes sucked and licked, he's like, you're so funny. And she's like, you want a finger in the ass? And he's like, yeah, baby. It's so awful. I don't know how the producers sat there and took it.
They're loving it. When she's like, this part tastes like cheese. You know, they're like,
no. In between it was egregious. I agree with you, Chris. It is egregious. And for those who recognize that foot fetish is a real thing, we saw a kink being enacted on live television and they did not stop it. They let it happen. Listen, if you can get away with it, I guess. So it was just upsetting and I was mad. But apparently they had good sex that night and they needed to because she's ovulating and his sperm need to get to where they got to get. Now she then, while he's away to go get them coffee, creates this entire like visual schedule that shows how many fishes or how many times they need to have sex per day, depending on the level of ovulation. And he's like, I'm gonna have to have my blue pill then. It's excessive to have sex. It's excessive to have sex that many times a day. Like, I think we're just gonna have it naturally. And it's just so interesting that sometimes guys can be so obtuse when it comes to what happens within a woman's body. Like, a woman says, baby, I didn't want to tell you this, but you're very hard for me.
to have a baby when I had JC. I have fertility problems and I had to have shots every day in order to have the baby. And I don't want it to come between us, but that's why I say we have to have sex a lot of time because of my fertility issues. And he's like, well, I think it can happen naturally. No, 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 no. Just Google some shit for 1 second to get some information so that you understand what she's saying to you. He thinks that she is overreacting about the amount of times that they need to have sex in a day in order to possibly conceive because he's just scared of having sex.
Well, he can't get hard 4 times a day. You know how hard it is for once for him? He can't get hard. It's hard for him to get hard once a week. To tell that aging man that's balding that he has to get hard 4 times a day, it's kind of like being like, hey, Wahama, you want to mm-hmm. run a marathon? This is what it takes. We're gonna train.
Okay.
We're gonna run a
marathon. Okay.
So 4 times a day, let's do 5 miles. Morning, early afternoon, later afternoon, and right before bed.
Okay, I have a question. Do I have to run it or can I just... Okay. No, I can't do that.
Okay, but that's what it takes.
Yeah, but then that means that I will never be a marathon runner.
You said you want to be in shape. You want to be a runner. You said
it.
I
did say that, but I am now realizing what all it takes. And the truth is that I'm just happy being me. I'm happy being a speed walker.
Well, you shouldn't have married me then. Okay, you know, I don't know. But so basically, they come back from this honeymoon and then they go to the lawyers because, you know, okay, well, she also has like a FaceTime with her mom. Let me tell you everything. So basically, she is in the park.
Tell us everything.
She goes to the park and she has a FaceTime and her mom has cancer. Okay, God bless. And so does Kate Middleton. Okay.
But we don't know that she does. They're just trying to like do the test, which costs $800. And so she's like, Gino's going to have to give it. Don't worry. Gino will give it. And I just said, wow, what a presumptuous situation. Like, what would they have done? Is it because Jasmine's not there to provide the $800?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great.
And also, she owes him. They were just camping. And so, yes, basically, yes. And so I feel so sorry for Kate Middleton. And I feel so sorry for, you know, obviously, Jasmine's mom. So after that conversation, she's kind of like high off that or whatever. And she's pissed. And one thing that we know that we know is that he tried to save money early on in the visa process. And by doing that, he did it by doing himself. Is like it's a point of their plot that like has been said a lot, you know, mm-hmm. like throughout the years, which is great. Mm-hmm. So basically then after that, you know, she's like, well, obviously I want my kids to come. I want my kids to be here. And he's like, well, I just can't, you know, like hire a lawyer right now to get that visa process started because I'm so broke from our, you know, very expensive wedding. So I couldn't even do a honeymoon. She's like, well, we don't even have to, you know, like hire them, but let's just like fucking talk to someone because as you know, I'm the best mother in the world. I'm not a good mother and I feel bad about that. And, or I'm really the best mother in the world. I can't quite decide like what my narrative is. So we're like, okay. So then they go to the lawyer. Now this is where it gets LOL because this lawyer wants what commission? This lawyer is hot for it. He's like, look, I'll tell you what you can do. You can be dumb or you can hire us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are you?
Because you were dumb before, in which you, when you did the K-1 visa, you did not put her children on there. So now, A, her children cannot come because you can't change what you have in because what you have in is not the right information in which to change.
That's if you had come to us, if you were not so fucking dumb and you mm-hmm. had come to us mm-hmm. before, honey, we would have told you that. We'd have mm-hmm. known we're lawyers. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at us? Mm-hmm. I'm in a goddamn suit you're wearing. I don't mm-hmm. know what some sort of hat. Mm-hmm. Your toesies are out. I don't know. They look mm-hmm. freshly sucked. Let me tell mm-hmm. you about this. Since you mm-hmm. made that choice now, you're sitting here and mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to come. They're mm-hmm. never going to be on this whale.
Never going to come. Never going to come. Never going to come. Never going to come. Those kids are going to be motherless. And not only that, but you can't leave for 8 to 12 months. Good news, bad news. But you, Google didn't tell you that, huh?
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken.
Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Google didn't tell you that is treacherously, violently, aggressively bitchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah. I mean, that was the note. Honey, Jasmine took that. When Jasmine heard that, her cheeks got even higher and her lips got even pushed out more. It was like the Grinch. You know how the Grinch is like, heart grows at the end. Jasmine's heart shrank in real time and we watched it.
Yeah. And then she tries to talk to him about it and he's like, I don't have $5,000, so it's not going to happen. And she's like, well, guess what? I have enough to get myself home. So I'm going to leave you here in cold ass Michigan. And you're going to figure it out by yourself because I need to get back to all the single ladies, Wanse, as well as JC. So she's pissed. And it is right where we always thought she should live. We've had 1.5 episodes of a happy Jasmine. And now we're back at the place where Jasmine lived, which is Angry Land. Pistopia.
I mean, she deserves it for making us watch that toe. So let's move on. Do we move on to Kobe and Emily?
Kobe and Emily, yeah. Sure. Kobe and Emily. So they give us lots of fun shots of the kids not crying and screaming on a 24-hour, like, travel excursion. Scarlett is, they let her do whatever. And I thought they were smart. They bought the whole row. They bought probably 9 seats. Right? 3 rows.
Okay, so do you remember when we went to London, there's the option to have that premier couch. So they must have gotten some couches or whatever the back is.
Yeah, they should. That was a great like premier couch. I know we've talked about it, but Chris disappeared and then I couldn't find her and then I found her in a corner drinking wine. Now, that was a great little travel for us. But we did have a situation where we could pull out the bottom of the chair of the seat we were in and it turned into a weird bed. And it was a great choice because that was a 10-hour flight.
So, yeah, we know how to travel and so do they.
Yeah. So they get off and they have every single piece of luggage they could possibly have. But then they meet Valerie, who is Kobe's best friend. And there's such a hug. At some point, Kobe gives him Scarlett. And Valerie has Scarlett the entire time. Scarlett's not crying. She's probably wondering what's going on. But she's also like, I haven't seen another Black man in my life besides my father. So I'm excited. I'm looking left. I'm looking right. And all of a sudden, it is not the whitest Salinas of Kansas, but it is the blackest country that I have ever known in my little bitty eyeballs. And so now every man is my father. Also possibly me. So she doesn't cry. And there's a little bit of a kerfuffle. There's hugging. And then we get a really great story about a white woman from Valerie. Chris, I'll let you tell this story.
Kobe called me and said he found one white woman at the nightclub. Then later on, Kobe told me that the white lady is pregnant for him. And I said, pregnant for him? Because I think that he meant it that way. Because I guess in my mind, I assumed that the mindset was that she was, in fact, pregnant for him, that women get pregnant for men in such a way. Like, I'm not saying that it's the right way, but I think I could hear how that might be the mindset of a culture that might want a lineage. And so if that's important for the man and his seed, then a woman being pregnant for him also makes sense in the preposition usage of that, even though it sounds wild for us.
Yeah. And, you know, it was very scary because Valerie and Kobe have seen plenty of white ladies on television and they are demanding and rude. And so he just didn't know what to expect, but he's so happy to see his bestie and
the besties kids, that like all of that kind of goes out of the window. Now, then we have a very interesting scene that we didn't see when all of our travelers went to Nigeria, but it looks like in Cameroon, what happens is every porter comes from wherever they are and each of them have a bag. And I imagine that each take a bag because there's probably tipping involved, mm-hmm. right? Which is fine. Mm-hmm. So there's a little tipping involved, and the mother and at Emily, Lisa and Emily are trying to figure out if all the bags are where they must be. And at that point, I'm like, there's nothing that you can do. If you weren't paying attention from the onset, I get you're tired and you flew a lot. But like you're going to just go ahead and have to trust, give it up to God that all your packages and your bags are where they need to be. Now, next, not only do the porters surround him, but in fact, 15 strangers who said, oh, this American man or this Cameroonian man with all of these white people just showed up. Providence. And so there's an expectation of just like, here's some money. Thank you, Britta. I don't know. I don't understand what's going on. And I was very confused. And Kobe handled it like a champ. But I thought it was interesting that the whole time, instead of sitting her ass in the car like I would have done, Mama Bear, Emily, is trying to figure out. God gets it too. Is trying to figure out, Kobe, what's going on? No, sit your ass in the car.
Mm-hmm. Lock the door.
No, yeah. I'm just kidding. But like, you know, shut the door. shut the door. You know, like, you don't need to be out there, you know, with your like big ass fake eyelashes batting there with your kid being like, Kobe. You know, just like, what the fuck? You're fine. You know, like, you married a prince. You know, he's cool. Yeah, it was weird.
Get
you know?
In that car and stop trying to figure out what's going on. He is fine. Valerie's there. He's fine. Just let that man just like walk away. I mean, they saw the cameras and they're like, there's money to be had. And they were going to go get it. So then they get on the road and Kobe's driving like, yeah, this is my country. And he's like, don't worry, monsieur, monsieur, mon poisson. I don't spill la poisson.
So I know what you want to do.
Poisson,
I know. You know more than me.
Like, avec mon chien-en-law. You know, I don't know.
It's horrible what you just did for that language. It's a beautiful language. So basically, he gives them what he can and he comes in like, what happened? You know, and they're like, he's like, oh, you know, nothing. They expect a little something. And I give him a little something. And the mom's like, you're our bodyguard. You better not leave us anywhere. We really stick out like a sore thumb. He's like, yeah, you know, I did at your place too. And they're like, yeah. Emily's like, uh-huh. So then they go.
Get a good night's sleep. And the next morning they wake up. Mm-hmm. And the kids, everybody's ready. I mean, let me tell you, Coben is excited. He is looking left and right and seeing all these black people. And he's like, they look like me. I said that already, but I just want to really impart on you guys that that's probably what's happening in his little mind. So then they get into a car and before they're driving 2 hours to his family's place. But before that, they need to show up all dressed alike in Cameroonian garb. So they meet Valerie at another spot and they go in. And they buy clothing and she's like, I want everything. And I said, girl, me too.
Yeah, totally. It was really interesting because he's like, look, my dad's from like the North, my mom's from the Northwest or something like that. And so like, he has a certain garment that has like a certain fabric that is, okay. It's a blue and white kind of, I think that the blue and white, you don't see it here. I think it's below this black.
It's like neon. Water, like to exactly. me, oh no, it's right to the it's, left. Of
yeah, you're right. It is. It yeah, is. Yeah. It is. You're right. It's like the strips that are the white and blue that, yeah, they look kind of coastal as opposed to the black and kind of more like neon colored, electric colors.
It's giving grassland, you know, like it's giving more inland in my mind.
I'll be honest, I know nothing about this at all. I mean, you know, like I don't know what any pattern means for anything, but it's so interesting because it's like, it reminds me, you know, like Scottish people do that, you know, like everyone has like the Scottish people have like whatever, like their armor or whatever tartan, you know, like
they're playing.
I also want to say in my sorority, Alpha Phi, each family had their own pattern. And then so you were supposed to get a sweatshirt made with the Alpha Phi letters on them in the pattern of like your family, you know, which ours was a plaid because we're classy.
Great story, Chris, to bring it back to your sorority Alpha Phi. Okay, now back to the Cameroonians. Now, then the father says something mildly racist. I mean, it's not like fully racist, but it's definitely like very tone deaf and unnecessary. But he's like, yeah, Wakanda.
Yep.
Yep. He did. And it was the cringiest cringe. And yep, he did it like right here. This was like Wakanda, you know, like that kind of happened. Wakanda. And I mean, first of all, the shot's beautiful that it's through this. And I wish that I could immediately get a facial shot of everyone's reaction. Like, I feel like, what was Emily's reaction? Do you think Emily?
I feel like Emily's like,
you can't do that.
Because, like, I mean, I get it that that's your only reference to it. I mean, you could have said Zamunda as well. Like, if you're like, oh, you know, Eddie Murphy and Coming to America. But it just was really very unnecessary because it's just like unnecessary. I mean, unless you were trying to say like, oh, it's like the different tribes of Wakanda and different tribes in the same country have their own, like the river folk, the, you know, ha, mo, ha, ha, like the people of the, like, you know, the, you know, I can't remember anybody's name. I'm so tired. But the folks that are in the winter part of Wakanda, you know, like that was such a great part. But like, there's just, you know, there's a lot of tribes, the people, the border folk, like there's, you know, but it was just unnecessary because like, he's just picking up. Thank you, God. He's just picking up the what's going on. And Kobe's like, listen, my dad is going to respect this whole situation more if we show up as one family in one pattern. And then they all get in the car dressed in their garbs, and they all look great to me. King and queen,
they all look great. I love that they definitely give us a little shot of people seeing them as they walk out of the shop and, like, you know, and either reacting or not reacting. I think that Emily's stepmom, I think, feels a little like, are we gonna look like we're
stepmom?
Is that her mom?
Yeah,
I don't know why I keep thinking it's her stepmom. Okay, so I don't know why.
Rob and Sophie.
Okay.
Unless you want to tell your, are you going to tell your joke? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut over you. Go tell your joke.
Oh, no.
Her mom.
Oh, no. It's just that I think feel like disingenuous, or they said like maybe they're like misappropriating culture, like they feel like they wearing that or whatever. So, but at the same time, they are absolutely his family, you know, like that's his wife, they have kids, you know, like, and he is a prince of whatever. And so I think that it's so interesting, but this is where I need to say, Emily said, I feel disingenuous. It's true, you know, because of this, but she's like, I'm just showing up. Like, I don't want to think about your culture. And then I was like, wait, that's your fucking shit. Why don't you know anything about his culture? You've been with him how long? You have so many kids with him. You don't think about his culture? Like, you should at some point. I'm not saying like feel super comfortable there, but at least being like, okay, straight up, it's not just not talking. Like, when I get there, like, she should have known about the clothes already. She should have, like, you know, like, known. She should know all the things. She should come and like be like so super prepared with gifts or whatever it is she needs, like keepsakes of the kids to give the people, like whatever it takes to like really indoctrinate her love and warmth for not only him, his culture and the family there. So when she said that, I'm like, I like the fact that you're like, oh, I'll wear this and I look great and I'll buy some bags, but I also like don't want you to come having no knowledge of his culture. So that's what,
yeah, I think that that's absolutely great and astute, because he wears Cameroonian clothing and he has, like, yeah, we saw him last time we saw them that he wears it. So you would think that there'd be some kind of curiosity. And like, mm-hmm, I think a lot of folks don't recognize what cultural appropriation is specifically, at least in the US. I don't know if folks in London feel the same way, but in the US, cultural appropriation is when white folks who have traditionally shunned Black culture, as far as hair, as far as clothing, and just the way Black people have maneuvered themselves in this country, find it to be unprofessional, unkempt, or whatever, but then all of a sudden take it and start using it and wearing it and behaving like it, all of a sudden it feels like cultural appropriation because you're taking something that once was shitted on and now making it cool because you've decided that it's no longer worthy to be made fun of. Now, it's an American thing, and I know that a lot of folks outside of the U.S. don't care if white Americans take their culture and wear it and do whatever with it. I, in fact, find that them going over into that country specifically makes sense to me that they would wear those garments. And it doesn't kind of have the same connotation. We're talking about Balenciaga all of a sudden, or like Ralph Lauren, for example, all of a sudden deciding that do-rags in his wardrobe is okay, and certain things that Black folks get shunned about or were shunned about. Like all of a sudden he decides that bamboo earrings are it for him yeah. in his new campaign. That's cultural appropriation.
I agree with you.
It's very specific. So when people don't know don't understand that, I just wanted to explain it for everybody. Go ahead. You agree with it, but.
Oh, I agree with it. I think that if you say that's an American thing, I think that across the board, you can say any colonizer to an oppressed people, because, you know, like when all the kids are running around Coachella with, you know, Native American headdresses, that awfully felt like it was cultural appropriation. When Gwen Stefani, you know, had a bindi on her head for no goddamn reason in the early 90s, you know what I'm saying? Like that could also be considered that, you know, just because they were like other like marginalized people, and definitely Native Americans have just been trampled on literally and their land taken away. Anyway, we're sorry for all of it. We didn't do it personally.
I'm not sorry.
We didn't start the fire, but it's always been burning since the world's been turning. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rob and Sophie. Now, let me tell you.
45 minutes ago, you said Rob. Rob and Sophie, you said it 45 minutes ago.
I know. I'm staying with you, friend. I love you. So Rob and Sophie, let me tell you what happened with them.
You tell me.
So it's at the end of their stupid, like, let's get together and see if we're going to make it work situation. She's in an Uber and he's in his own car. He says that he cares so much for the sanctity of marriage that he feels that she should have just come home with him, be it hell or high water, and just deal with the fact that they're fighting. And it's now time for her to just come home and move through it and be unhappy and feel uncomfortable in a space with his tarantulas. In fact, he even goes home and is like, hey, tarantulas. It's single father again. Then he goes into his bedroom and opens a drawer that has literally nothing in it with one wedding band.
Go and get her. We don't want you. Go back and get her.
Yeah, that's
probably making spiders. A nest.
That's the spiders.
Me.
I know. Chris is doing a spider impersonation. If you're on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month, then you'll see that that's what's actually going on. So, but like, then he goes and he just like pulls this one ring out of a drawer, empty drawer. And I thought to myself, is that where you're keeping it? Why? Why do you have one ring in a giant drawer to be like, who loses their wedding band? Like, ugh. And you're right. He's right. The fact that she doesn't have that wedding band or didn't know where it was is like weird. Because I don't understand why she took it off her finger outside of the bathroom to like wash her hands or whatever.
She's 2 years old.
That makes sense. She's 2 years old.
You can't give jewelry to like that kind of person. She's too young. Go on.
No, you're right. So he's like single parent household. Then we have a situation where her mother then wants to meet with her. She's like, okay, first of all, let me go back to her. So then she's in her Uber going back to Kay's house or Kelly or whatever her lover's name is. She's going back to that house and she's like, I don't understand why does Rob expect me to come and live in a situation where he hasn't even changed? Like, it doesn't even make any sense. Like, why would I do that? No, I don't want to go live in a situation, be unhappy and be with Rob when he hasn't even changed anything. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go and live with my lover Kay or like whatever. And so she does that. And then we have another scene where she's wearing a cute outfit that's making her jiggle jiggle and a wobble wobble. And mm-hmm, I love that for mm-hmm, her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know why my mother wanted to meet at the bookstore. I've never even like seen her read a book before. And I was like, oh, my mother reads a lot.
Oh, guess what I just downloaded finally?
What?
A Quarter Brittany? Thorn of Roses.
Oh.
I've audiobooked all of Britney.
Okay.
I should have probably audiobooked.
I hope you enjoy it. Yeah, you should have.
I might do that still. Whatever. Yeah. I'll buy both.
Yeah. But like, yeah. So she's like, I didn't know why my mom wanted to read the book. So I've never seen her even read a book. And I was like, wow, that's one of those things that like, I've seen my dad read. I've seen my mom read. And my dad's now really into audiobooks, which.
Good for, that's cute.
Yeah. So like, I don't know what that's like to not have like family members who do those things. And so it's just like really interesting to me because I was like, oh yeah, I guess I would be like, yeah. My brother does not read. He's not a reader.
Claire comes into this bookstore and she says she sees the words gen fiction. She's like, what's that? I don't know what gen fiction is. No, I don't know. Oh, like,
okay.
Well, I have just a hot my take. Deduction, babe. One of them is fiction and you're in a bookstore. So, like, okay. So, and one is the word gen. Let's just what do you think it is? Like, you know, like, obviously generational or generation comes to me, but.
Gen X,
mm-hmm. All of these things like gives you a certain idea of what that word is. In fiction, we're in a bookstore, and like that was wild to me.
Yeah, she has no context clues. Also, do you understand? This is what I always thought. Why do they call it fiction and then nonfiction? Why don't they just think of a word that means nonfiction without doing that? Why can't it be like
Real.
Yeah.
Because that's what always got me confused because fiction.
Yes.
Because you're like, so fiction is fake.
Yeah.
And then nonfiction is not fake. So that's what it is.
Yeah. So call it real or something.
It's yeah. Yeah. I know. That's always fucked me up too. Yeah. So basically, then we get like a real honest to God, I mean, you know, moment where Sophie's like, if you didn't know, now you know. My mom and I, we went through it. Like, I've watched my mom. Oh, fucking D. I've saved her life before. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think I look this way, you think I present this way, it's because I saw some shit, you know? And you really get to, like, I felt for Sophie, you know? There's obvious parentification issues where, like, she takes on that role, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that I saw it like in like last season for, you know, obviously the first season we met them. And now in this, it just becomes painfully obvious that she would rather do anything and be anything and create anything other than what she came from. And the fact that she allows her mom to even be in her life, I think also speaks volumes for her. I wonder if with therapy, if that is going to be what continues to happen for her. Mm-hmm. I can see a world in which she's like, bitch, I need you to fucking back off because I have taken a lot to even consider healing from what happened. And I need you to step back, you know, because there's a lot, like sometimes now that when she said that to me, I felt like, kind of like a suffocating energy that I think I didn't quite understand before. And now it made me feel really sad for her.
Yeah. And I also think that no wonder she's with somebody like Rob. And no wonder that she like deals with what she's dealing with is because of some sort of instability. And it makes me pissed off at Rob for constantly holding being a rich girl against her. Mm-hmm. When she's clearly had some real world shit happen to her that needs to kind of dead that idea that he's excited that she isn't stuck up or something. Like, I'm over that narrative that he does when he knows that she didn't have this perfect life.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
It's very weird. And so, and the fact that she still works and puts energy into her creating something for herself via social media influencing and whatnot. So it's just weird to me that he has this like weird idea of her. And so she gets there and I feel for her, but I could tell she was a little kind of jealous and annoyed that her mother is wanting to be like, I'm wearing a little frilly dress because I'm so in love. Texas man told me that he loved me. And she's like, I'm really happy that my mother has somebody and that it's working. And then like my life is failing. That's great. That's great. That she just gets to do whatever she wants and have good things happen to her when like I've suffered underneath her, which that's what I felt from her.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that's like as if we're supposed to believe that her mom is going to have a very happy life from this moment on. Everything's going to be like peaches and cream, which we all know that's not the peaches way life works.
Yeah. Because you know that I'm a fiend. Okay, let's move on to Nicole and Mahmoud.
Mahmoud.
What is wrong with Nicole to where she cannot express herself with clothing that doesn't just fully offend her husband? Like, what's wrong with her? She just keeps trying to force him to accept her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it upsets him, which then upsets her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I just can't. I mean, she immediately. Like, he's like, cover your belly. And she's like, what? We can do anything. We're in America. I can take off my shirt and run around. And he's like, yeah, but I'm still a Muslim man who would like a woman who dresses modestly.
It's that so crazy.
I cannot do this. I cannot watch them if they are just going to fight over the same things. It's like she didn't know he would be mildly offended by the mannequin. She didn't know that he would be offended by the spread leg fucking portrait that she did of some random woman.
What the hair? The bush.
So much bushy hair.
I mean, and then textured. It's like it's a flat surface with what looks like. Then she got like a tuft of hair, and I think it's hers.
Oh my god!
And she glued it there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
She makes him disgusting pizza. This bitch couldn't have gone and found herself some hummus somewhere and a little bit of tabbouleh or a little bit of something. Did he say specifically, oh, babe, you know what I want? I want box pizza when I touch down in America. I'm going to be very tired. This bitch says that she is mad at him because he didn't sleep on the plane. Like, I cannot watch them. It is I cannot suffer through watching them bicker.
Yeah, he's just like, he gets off this plane. He is tired. Now, I would be too. It's very hard for me to sleep on a plane. He obviously didn't get business class. He's, you know, like small. Maybe he's angular. Maybe it's all bones when he tries to sleep. I'm sure it's very hard, you know, like I'm not quite sure. He's used to one pillow and four people in his bed, honey. You know what I'm saying? Like, so anyway, God bless. So the whole time he's there, he's like, oh, look at all. It's all cars, a lot of cars. Okay, yes. And they're like driving through downtown. And then, honey, they got the freeway and they are on. In Los Feliz, and this girl is the East Sidiest girl. I'm just like, I know exactly what they are. Either in Los Feliz, I'm like, oh my god, I'm not going to like try and find out what street, but I could, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know exactly like the area they're in, which is exciting and also perfect for Nicole. So basically, yeah, that's when they get in. She gives him the used shorts, you know, God bless. He's like, thanks for the used shorts. You know, like, did you wash them? I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I mean, people are going to be like, why is he so angry? And it's like, well, okay. A, he's literally never been happy. B, he did get a promise. He did get a promise from this woman that she would like literally be a conservative woman. And what she's done is just like shown him not that. And you can say, what, it's just a little tummy. And it's like, yeah, if you believe that's fine, you know, but like, I don't understand why she does not care about his faith. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand. It's like he's
or his feelings.
What is he besides those things? I hate to say that, but what is he besides those things? How could you cast them asunder? You're like, no, he's a whole other person. I'm like, okay, maybe. But what we've seen so far is basically conservative Islamic beliefs. So what part of him is she even in love with? I don't even get it.
Yeah. I don't know. And they're already fighting and it's just tedious. He's like, are you sure you know how to drive? And she's like, yes. And then she's like, babe. And then she makes him pizza and he takes two bites of it and he's so tired and she's pissed that he's tired. And she's like, well, hopefully Mahmoud will see how I feel when I travel. Because I'm certainly not going back to Egypt ever. So I hope that he likes it here and I hope he gets it together. And I just hope that she has found a mosque for him. I hope that she has just like trying to surround him. But no, it feels like she won't even put her mannequin away or put clothes on the mannequin. She won't take the picture down. She just wants him to like move in and accept everything in the, I guess, the same manner that he expected her to do the same. And it's tedious. And I don't have anything else to say about them.
The only thing is he's never said that he's going to be a full-fledged Western American. He never was like, he never took an oath, right? Where he was like, okay, now that you've given your oath that you were going to try being an Islamic wife, I'll give my oath that I'm going to try this. He hates, like, she's like, wants him to be American or Americani. And he so far hates it. He's like, Egypt is number one. I'll tell you what's great, Egypt. Too many pillows here. I need Egypt pillows. You know what I'm saying? Like, he, I love when he hates the pillows.
Yeah.
The pillows, I need like 14 pillows. You know, like, I'm the worst with when it comes to pillows. I want to be hugging a pillow on each side of me, a pillow. I want them under my legs. I want pillows everywhere. You know, I want a bed of pillows. you know, so it's just so interesting. I want to hear like what he is excited about in America. There was no confessional before for Mahmoud to be like, oh, in America, I can't wait to this. This is what I expect. I know this might happen, whatever, but like none of that. Now, knowing now they're in LA, I'm like, is there going to be a scene of like him seeing like the walk, the Hollywood Walk of Fame stars or whatever? Like, is that's part of it? Is it like taking him to the Griffith Observatory, which is very close? Like, is it him like at the farmer's market and the Grove? You know, like, is he going to be at Air One? Now, if he's at Air One, did she unmute? She muted herself because what? She's so pissed? She got upset? Oh. Okay, let me tell you. I love Air One. Okay, I wish I did. I'm not saying it's great. I'm saying it's very expensive. But we're going to go. And by the way, I'm a member. And we're going to go.
A member? Okay, I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on. So last couple is Ashley and Manuel.
Boring.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
I know.
Just the ashiest, grayest lipstick. Like, what color is that? Is that a NYX color? Did she get that from MAC? What lipstick color is that? And who convinced her that this was 2016 and she was a YouTuber wearing some kind of gray lip color with no bloody lip liner? I just can't do it. She wants to meet Manuel's kids. Manuel is like, I want to ease them into getting to know you, so leave my private life alone. And she's like, I want to be your wife, Manuel. And that's the end.
God, I wish we could see her like teaching more soul cycle class or like spinning classes. I want to see her make a playlist and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, that was boring. Obviously, we're not talking about.
No.
Who we're not talking about. You like when I do it. You like when I say it over.
I hate it.
But there's going to be someone.
Who cares?
But
who
I cares? Do.
Okay,
I do.
All right. Okay. You do. Great.
If you haven't noticed, we're not going to talk about those who we're not going to talk about because they shouldn't be on the show because they are not someone who met from someone being in America and someone not being in America. Okay, great. Anyway, if you liked this, don't worry. We have a whole podcast. Have you heard? We have everything all the time. A lot of different shows, including we're doing Quiet on Set. Honey, the Max show Quiet on Set, which is like a horrible docuseries. And by horrible, I mean it's actually very done well about the shit show pedophilia, you know, whatever Disneyland that was Nickelodeon in the 90s, which unfortunately we, our children, have watched some of that. So that's what's happening. But other things are happening too. We appreciate you guys so much. If you want more, you can find us on our social medias. We are at DocuSweeties on Instagram. We are DocuSweeties on TikTok. We are DocuSweeties on X. We have a Facebook group, the DocuSweeties Podcast Facebook group. Give us 5 stars if you haven't and a helpful review. And this whole time we've been showing our feetsies and our faces. We've been sucking toes.
Yes. Yeah. And if you would like to see that, you can do so on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10 a month. You get a live every first Monday of the month, plus exclusive content. So if you are all interested in that, please join us on patreon.com/docusweeties for $10. Other than that, you guys, we will talk to you later. Bye.